The all-new Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Glenn Robbins.
Oh, Eddie's at the arse end of the Boytown tour.
He's looking good, though. He's looking fresh.
He's looking tanned.
Yeah, well.
We'll get the jumper leads on to him. Glenn's going to be fine. How are we going to play Cavaliers, believe it or not? You'll like that, Glenn.
I've not heard that before.
Oh, you'll probably never hear it again, I'm guessing. But that's going to be fantastic. Stuff that's still got legs. Are we talking about that?
So many legs.
You're sounding a tad Neville Wran this morning, man. Eddie. You all right?
Lost my voice, I think.
Is that from just shouting names of new segments?
I think so. Shouting down the line at you at 11 o'clock at night on the phone.
I heard you in the corridor singing along to Living on a Prayer just before.
Yeah, I thought it was something else.
Shot through the heart. That's and you're to blame. They're easily confused. I reckon I'm going to make a prediction now. This is going to be the best episode ever.
Wow.
Of Get This.
I think it's an appalling statement to have made. It's highly provocative. It's deeply offensive to the whole of the region, this statement, and it cuts across all the work that's been done. So there is a question mark about whether this is just a highly inflammatory statement or whether this is a highly inflammatory statement which is going to lead to the action that they're threatening. That's bad for Australia, but the fact is that this would be a highly provocative thing to do.
Oh, that's solid ground, solid rock, etc. from Goanna here at Get This Around the Nation. It's me, Tony Martin. It's that man, Ed Cavalier.
Hello, better now.
Richard Marsland, he's windswept as...
How you going, Tony? Weather-beaten now.
Oh, is it...
It's cranked up. It's gone up a notch.
Were you on the Rove last night?
No, it wasn't, unfortunately, but I got a few things on.
Okay.
What, gags?
Say hi to your mum for me.
Done. Is that you? Are you the author of Say Hi to Your Mum?
I did everything.
Is that you?
You get a royalty check every time he says that. Hey, that sounds like Glenn Robbins. Give him a round. Welcome aboard, Glenn.
Nice to be here.
Is there a TV show you haven't been on in the last week or so?
Oh, now, I heard some interesting about you. Because I maintain that you know more about me than I know about me.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah, you're Tom Glies. Tom Glies can quote things I've said and they sound hilarious. And I go, that's great. And he said, you said it 6 months ago. And I think that's fantastic. You quote things that I've done. So maybe I should ask you the same question. Is there a show that I haven't been on?
I don't know about that. You were on The Flying Doctors a few times, Glenn, weren't you?
I did Flying Doctors, yes.
Prisoner?
I did Prisoner while I had dental problems and I couldn't talk properly.
I do radio.
Did you? Yeah.
The Flying Doctors.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to guess who you were. How old were you, Glenn?
I seriously can't. I know I was probably just an extra in the bar. I think I was an extra. I think I probably had one line.
Wronged husband.
Something like that.
Swarthy mechanic.
Yeah, something like that.
Shonky Crocodile Dundee 2, doing all your drug deals in the boot of a car in the middle of a field at midday where everyone can see you, style drug dealer.
That's your go, Robbins.
Got it in one.
Yeah, outdoor drug dealer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Glenn, you're one of these people who, if you look at 80s movies, just pop up with one line.
Yeah.
Aren't you in Evil Angels?
Yes, there you go.
You're in Evil Angels?
I'm in Evil Angels.
And what do you say?
I say, he's a bit of a wanker.
Who are you referring to there? The dingo?
Him. What's his name? Chamberlain.
Oh, yeah. In his little tight shorts.
Yeah, saying, oh, yeah. And, yeah, that's all I did.
And Ricky and Pete, you've got one line in that.
Oh, God, you want to see? Look, seriously, that is good. So that is off my whiteboard in my head. It's still on your whiteboard.
You're at the end of the movie in the newspaper printing room.
Oh, God.
Doing something.
And what's he doing? What's he doing, Tone?
Oh, just calling the shots, His Girl Friday style.
Is that right? Oh,
man, that is.
And your car keys, you left them behind the couch last Tuesday.
That's, my God, that's incredible.
So when did the Glenn Robbins shirtless clause come in?
Yeah, when did that start happening?
What do you mean shirtless or pantless?
Both. When did the Glenn Robbins, a la Derbs,
songs, Derbs.
Yeah, what is Derbs. That? What is the? I don't know. Look, all I know is when we're away doing, you're talking about Russell Coit, yeah?
Oh, well, I'm talking about, Kath and Kim. I'm talking about Russell
Coit. Well, I didn't write the Kath and Kim thing. With Russell Coit, we just went, let's just do what we shouldn't do. Yeah. I remember with Tom. Tom said, we were driving back to a camp one day, and he said, we've got a frozen crocodile, and we've got a pond. What do we do? And I said, something like, how about, I don't know whether I can say this, how about Russell Coit gets bitten on the penis?
Oh, yeah.
And the next day, I'm there with a crocodile being stitched to my penis. I'm going, this will never happen again in my life. So, I mean, that, it just, the cards just fall and my ass just comes out. Can I just tell you something? Can I tell you something? Channel 9 contacted me, contacted Michael Hirsch the other day, and they said, we want to do a compile of Russell Coit's ass for the 50 years of television.
For 50 years, it's but, all yeah, been leading to
they,
this.
This is true. They requested three packages of my ass. And we said, in tough negotiations, you can have one ass and two other bits, right? So they took the one ass. They didn't use the other bits. They just used the one bit of ass, and they even cut out the lead up to it and just showed my ass for 30 seconds.
Oh.
That is me, 50 years of television, bang right there.
What, are you just a piece of meat, Glenn?
Yeah.
Where's the respect?
I got to like, yeah, I enjoy it, though. Yeah. I must admit. Well, I mean, I was, you know, meat. I was flashing it to a bunch of school kids and stuff. And,
yeah. Deirdre, has the Glenn Robbins ass package arrived yet?
We've got one, but they're holding out the other two.
What about the package? Has that arrived yet? What about in Boytown now? You're getting around in the derps in that. Of course you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Oh, again, yes, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, yes.
And singing and dancing. Yeah. Is that... Now, you don't do your own singing.
No, we lip-sync acoustically. We lip-sync live to tape. Right. But there is no lip-sync enhancement of our lips to make us look like we sing, but we in other words, we don't sing.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I should have just said no.
What about dancing? I mean, obviously, you're doing your own dancing. There's none of that. Because Mick Malloy, as we noted yesterday, often just cuts to his head.
Yeah. And well, what was interesting in dance class, if I reckon...
Dance class?
Yeah. We had dance class. We had dance class for about...
Yeah, there's some footage. It'll be on the DVD.
Oh, it'll be a great DVD. Oh, for about 6 weeks. I'll tell you, we worked hard.
6 weeks?
It was boot camp for dance, for old men.
Boot
for
camp
old men.
For boot men.
Yeah. And what would happen is we'd get a move that was quite hard, and Mick would go, you know what? We're not going to use that bit.
Yeah, that'll be cut out, mate. I wouldn't bother with that. Just cut to my face for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I just felt like, Mick, that's because you can't do that move.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had, because we had all the 80s stuff as well, so we went through, as you know, with the film, there's flashbacks to the 80s. And we were training for like 6 weeks, I reckon. Then these guys came in and they learned what we learned in 6 weeks in seriously 20 minutes.
I saw them. They just go, right, yeah. Actually, I won't even show you till we're rolling. That'll be fine.
And a backflip and one of those high kicks and around you go and then give you one of those.
There you go. There you go. Hey, who's the worst dancer?
Oh, yeah.
Can I put Louis' name forward?
No.
No?
No, Mick wasn't bad. Keep going.
Franklin.
Really?
Yeah.
Bob Franklin.
Yeah, Bob Franklin.
I've got to say, the worst dancers were Bob, myself, and Mick. Gary and Wayne were the...
No, Wayne's looking good out there.
Yeah.
He's looking svelte and ready.
Yeah, no, he was they were the go-to guys. Is it kickball change? Is it kick, side, kick, step, feed the chook, do the shoulder move? No, it's shoulder move, kick, feed the chooks, you know.
And we've got Bob Franklin in tomorrow.
Yeah,
finally! It's not easy to get him. And we've got to do Startle Bob Franklin. We've got to think of things to startle him. Mm-hmm. Let's start working on that. Mm-hmm. But what about the premieres? I mean, do you have to do that thing of going around the country to the different premieres?
Yes, I've been, mix over in Perth as we speak. I've done Tasmania, I've done Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne.
Oh, they're nerve-wracking, those premieres. Oh, you went to Hobart?
Absolutely.
Oh, I went to a premiere in Hobart of Bad Eggs, and, you know, the title of the film should really have warned me what was going to happen. Yeah. Quiet bit near the start, loudest fart of all time. Like, so loud that it just, you know, momentum was lost. Film never recovered. Loud fart in the theatre at the premiere. But I remember my wife came up with the best ever description of the sound of that fart afterwards. How's this? A brilliant description of a loud fart. She said, it's like the sound of, you know, a giant novelty check that you present to someone for charity.
Yeah.
It's the sound of that check being torn out of the giant checkbook. If you can imagine that sound, that was the sound of it.
You'd be proud of that, wouldn't you?
I was very happy with that.
Yeah. Who was that? You know what? That was me, because it was a beauty.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to claim that.
Yeah, I'm claiming that one.
And 200 bucks went to charity. Yeah. Oh, hang on a second.
What's happened?
Have we got someone here? Have we got a second?
Hopefully.
A second celebrity guest.
My goodness.
Hit whatever you've got there, Mr. Marsden. It's Snato Garro. It's normally the musical theme.
Oh, yeah.
I think you better cue that up anyway. Santo, what are you doing here?
I used to go out back to the dentist. Yeah, so how you going? Good? The dentist just did a little bit of work on my face.
When I was in prisoner, I was having some dental work, but that's how I spoke. Seriously.
No, I just had a cleaning today, which is, do you find the cleaning a little bit sort of harder work than the actual, you know.
Yes, sexual. I agree with that.
Oh, it's getting right into yep. the nooks and crannies. And,
yeah, yeah.
And, yep. and, you know, and at the end, how do you feel? I don't know, a lot poorer.
Santo, I thought you
come on, people want to hear it.
He was the Hoon advisor for many years on Triple M. What were you saying, Ed?
I thought you might be having a grill done. You know, like those. Sort of, yeah, a grill is when you get like a platinum and diamond kind of casing for your teeth.
Yeah.
So when you show your teeth, you've got like bling instead of teeth.
I heard two young guys at the gym talking about what diamonds they were going to stick in their teeth.
Yeah.
And I just walked. I thought it was one of those ones, you know, put your gold in your teeth to check to see if it's a real gold coin.
No.
Is that what happens? Bling in your mouth?
Yeah, you'd look great with a grill. Platinum on top, gold on the bottom, and just like the big dollar signs in diamonds across the front.
Wow. I freaked myself. I did the tooth polish thing once. You know, the polish at home.
What
I thought,
is that?
Your teeth whitening.
What is
thing.
That?
Yeah, I've done teeth that too.
Oh yeah.
That was the last time I ever did it. I freaked myself out. I looked like a. You know when you go those in. What's the ultraviolet? You
went ultraviolet. Yes.
Light, and all of a sudden your teeth are bright.
And does that work?
You look like you live on the Gold Coast, don't you?
You look wrong. You look wrong. Yeah. And I just said
people
that's
coming
it.
Up to you asking if they can buy some timeshare in the street.
No, that's because I wear the shorts and the long socks. But.
Or you can just do what I do and get them to just airbrush it for you on the posters for the show.
How's that?
How wide am I see? That?
Where was my airbrushing, Martin? Hey? Yes.
You should send Tony Martin's writer for tonight's Thank God You're Here.
Oh, am I on Thank God You're Here tonight?
Yeah, we had to do a little bit of airbrushing because on the whole body. I'm not going to give away too much, but if you're a lady out there who thinks Tony Martin is a little bit hot, you'll love tonight's show. He wears
that opinion will be permanently reversed.
He wears the skimpy. No, it's not a skimpy outfit. Yeah. It's an outfit.
It's figure hugging.
It's something that maybe shouldn't be shown in the time slot.
No, it's figure hugging for most people, but not for Tony.
It's very loose fitting, that superhero costume. Yeah. Oh dear,
it's a lycra caftan.
We have.
imagine like a bike rider in flares.
Oh, that's some sizzle. For Channel 10 tonight, 7:30, let's get this program started. We've got a full bench, and next up we're going to play Cavalese, Believe It or Not. Yeah. This is How Hard Breaks here at Get This. Rob Thomas, around the nation on Triple M or KOFM if you're listening in Newcastle. We've got Glenn Robbins from Boytown with us.
Nice to be here.
We've got Santo Chilara. He's got a new book, San Sombrero, in the shops at the moment.
Yes, that came out in the last couple of weeks. And you can go to the website and check out the La Baba Boomba.
That's going to catch on.
It is going to catch on. Yes. It's a contagious dance, more ways than one.
Hey, if you go to the Boytown website, they're starting to put up clips from a very controversial documentary called Boytown Confidential. Which is going to be, I think, on the DVD of Boytown.
I've seen it.
Oh, it's blowing the lid off everything.
It's very, very funny.
I think they're running clips up there. I'm not sure. We'll have to click on something to find out. Is that working?
Yeah, it's working, mate.
All right. Hasn't been vandalised yet?
No.
Like our website?
Give it time.
Hey, guys, do you, obviously a few of you would have been to Ballarat at some point. We were talking about Ballarat yesterday because Robin Hitchcock was on the show and he's playing there this Saturday. And Big Bad Bruce from Ballarat has sent in to say, you know, sure, it was a city built on a gold rush. I think we said that.
Yep.
But there's so much more. Did you know that Ballarat is about to join the world of big things?
Oh.
We're getting a big miner.
A big miner?
I.e. big banana and big pineapple.
One of those. A big mining bloke, but with a mini golf course.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Big miner, mini golf. Wow. Isn't that going to be good?
Finally. Wow, that's right. Well, okay, they're looking for the new wonders of the world.
Yeah.
The old seven wonders of the world. They've decided that some of them might not be as wonderful as they first thought. They had Hanging Gardens of Babylon's in deep trouble.
Yeah, where was that?
The pyramids are falling over, so they're in deep trouble. Not as wonderful anymore. Mm-hmm. Machu Picchu's looking good for the next one. Statue of Liberty's looking good for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those are pale in comparison to the genius. That is a giant miner and 18 holes of geometrically based fun. In the middle.
Will there be a volcano?
Yeah, desperately. You know what they'll be? If they're smart, they'll do this. There'll be one hole where you smack the ball and you've got to get it into one of those little mining,
mining carts, like Indiana Jones.
A mining cart. That'll sort of fly around a little, contraption.
Yes.
And then drop the ball either next to the hole or if you hit it too hard,
it'll just throw it into the car park.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
And if you cheat, you get your own wanted poster.
And end up in the stocks. Oh. Now, Glenn is a proper golfer. He takes the golf pretty seriously. I mean, do you look down on mini golf? Is there any kind of skill? If you're a real golfer, can that help with
that? Well, it's where I started. I used to be a caddy at a mini golf course when I was a kid.
Really?
Thank you very much. That is not my joke.
He was knocked out by a windmill blade.
Yes. No, I'd like a bit of mini golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Contraptions. Do you think that
the windmill
ear hoses are good?
One of the first sketches I ever did was commentating a mini golf course.
In high-pitched voice?
Yes, that's right.
No pants. But is there a cut? I mean, have you actually played mini golf? I mean, when you play it, do you get serious? Do you really putt?
I get really serious.
No, a little bit serious. No, I'm saying...
What, you're saying I'm competitive?
No, but when you get to a mini golf course, when you're playing with a nephew or something like that, try and win?
No, I have to win. I must win.
But do you bend down and look at the line?
No.
I definitely do that. I'll walk the hole first. I'll just walk the hole and then come back. And I get really angry when I'm playing with people and they've clearly got a piece of gaffer tape on the ground where the ball's meant to be teed off from.
Mm.
And people will take that as a line that they can put the ball anywhere left and right of that.
Mm.
That really angers me.
And Ed, how do you play if you go for a big one and it actually leaves the course? On two and it ends up in nine. You know, it jumps the tracks.
Yeah.
What happens then?
If it goes in the hole in nine,
right,
then I meant it, right? But if it doesn't, then you've got to go, it's one shot and you've got to go back and tee off again.
Okay. And if you end up too close to the piece of wood on the side, are you allowed to move it in like
one
pool rules?
One club length.
One club length.
Sado? I think we're going to move on.
I think that's mini golf covered for one day. It's coming to Ballarat. Unfortunately, the last attempt to bring bigness to Ballarat failed. It was to be the big mag wheel. wasn't popular, according to Bruce. There is also the Begonia Festival, a pisswick festival that plays tribute to a bloody flower. He's not happy about that. Let's not forget the mighty Sovereign Hill, so authentic. So authentic, he says. Did you say a bowling alley in 1851? Trial Castle, the wenches, the whippings, the feasts. Why is a 16th century English castle relevant to Western Victoria? Says Big Bag Bruce.
Last time I drove past Trial Castle, they're having a rave party.
They had a rave party.
It's true.
Harpsichords, high speed.
Minstrels are playing.
Mead and ecstasy.
There you go.
I think it's time to do it. It's time to ask the question, do you believe it or not? Music by Nickelback. That's getting longer.
God, it's really... It gets right in there, you know?
We have time for the segment now?
No, we don't.
How does it work? Explain it to Snatto and Glenn.
Okay, Snatto, Glenn, swarthy one. The way this works is I read you a headline. Now, it's either from my boyfriend's Take 5, Get That's Life, and OK Magazine, or I've made it up. So if I said to you, Glenn, something, you say whether you believe it or not.
There we go.
Is it cavalry or is it true?
Let's hear one.
So hang on, if it's cavalry.
I've made it up.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's
cunningly.
What's the other one I say?
You believe. Oh, hang on. Yeah.
I want a catchphrase here. I want a catchphrase.
Cavalry's believe it or not, so do you believe it or not? Yeah, that's what we'll go with.
Can we talk about the mini golf again?
Yeah. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Get This.
Go.
Here we go. I was too large to get out of the car.
Believe it or not.
Glenn.
I believe it.
It's true. There was a lady in Hammersmith that got into the car, and then she was driving around, and she got cold or hot. I can't remember which one it was, and they couldn't get it back out of the car.
She expanded?
She expanded.
Really? So she got into the car, expanded. Was the food? Did she go through a drive-thru?
No. Just sitting around. And they had to they had to take the door off the car.
Well, what they need at Hammersmith is the big car.
There you go.
She can just get out of it.
And is that someone who's, almost ready for the crane, as we say?
I think she's crane ready. I think she's runway and crane ready.
Have we had anyone craned out of their house in Australia?
No.
Because it happens all the time in America.
Yeah.
But I reckon we've got to get one here.
Okay.
So big, you're being craned out of the house and being fed with a bit of sandwich on a stick. On a stick. That's how they feed them.
You get washed and fed by stick.
That's true. That's not cavalry at all.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Snatto. Mm. My cat believes me. Ooh, it's a cryptic one, Snatto. My cat believes me.
Clearly Cavalier.
Incorrect, my friend.
All right, don't have to rub it in.
Thank you, Glenn, for playing a bit of trumpet there. A lady has said in England, said that she saw a UFO in her back garden.
Yes.
Right? And and the only person that believes her is her cat, seen here covered in tinsel, so you know it's authentic. She said she videotaped the whole thing and invited what she calls a local UFO group. They came around, studied the video closely, and gave me their expert opinion. There's something there.
So the cat was right.
Cat was right.
So how is the cat's belief in the UFO confirmed?
Because the cat was the only one that believed her, and she gave her the strength to call up the local UFO people. Everyone else said she was crazy.
But the cat will believe anything. If you dangle a bit of string, they'll go with anything. You watch.
She's more savvy than that. You got to give the tabby.
There's an "are you being served" joke in there.
Which is?
My pussy saw a UFO.
Where's that music when we need it?
Because, as we say, there is not enough, you know, the modern house trance style gear.
Yeah.
It needs more cash registers doing the percussion.
That's Thank God for Russell Gilbert's
back catalogue.
Yeah.
Every time you see Russell Gilbert promoting that show, he's just talking quite normally, but he's got a hat on sideways on his head, providing the wacky.
He's got a bit of Blakey happening up top.
Okay, Tone.
Yes.
Kids called me Cornflake Face. The kids called me Cornflake Face.
I reckon that's true.
It is true.
But why would they do that?
Well, a kid got really badly sunburned.
Oh, yeah.
And went on a holiday, came back, and they were really peeling badly on their face.
Getting the singing detective look out.
Singing detective look. And so the kids were calling them Cornflake Face.
Right.
Now, in the magazine, it's like, you know, everyone's sad and then, like, people cuddling them, and it's really nasty. But I think that's a pretty hilarious nickname that the kids came up with. I reckon Cornflake Face is fair enough.
That's good, but how does that make an international magazine?
That's the question.
They got £200 for sending that in, Santo.
And surely, you know, Kellogg's would be keen to track that.
Like what I reckon. Milky Bar Kid versus Cornflake Face.
Is that it? You put the mag down. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
You haven't got one for Ricky?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Ricky?
Yep.
Freddy Krueger's Cookbook. Freddy Krueger's Cookbook.
As a heading for an article.
As a thing.
I think it's pure uncut Cavalier.
Incorrect, my friend.
Wow.
Now, you know, I knew that was right, but I just wanted to hear it.
Did you?
Correct it.
Did Glenn do it
Freddy
again?
Freddy Krueger's Cookbook. What are you talking about?
The character of Freddy Krueger.
Cornflake Face.
Cornflake Face apparently is bringing out a cookbook.
All right. Obviously the fingers too. Very good for slicing and dicing.
Honestly, that's what they're saying. The book's going to come with the glove with a knife on it to use to cut up stuff.
See, what I like is that none of those were Cavalier.
I know.
That to me suggests you've written the segment like at the very last minute, like 2 minutes to...
Can I hear a Cavalier?
Okay, yep.
Because here you go. Just fire one out that is one of yours.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to know it's one of yours.
The Come one on. That would have been in the segment if you prepared it.
Come on. You haven't got one, have you?
No, hang on. Shush.
he hasn't got
I learned French in 10 minutes.
I
did that segment in 10 minutes.
All right. We have prepared something for Talkback Mountain, though. Oh, this is going to be great. Stuff that's still got legs. Oh, do you think they'll give us permission to use ZZ Top's legs?
Yes.
On this station, do you reckon we'll get that one through?
I reckon there's
Couldn't
every
get any Robert chance. Hitchcock.
I reckon there's every chance.
ZZ Top are pretty edgy.
I'm going to go and talk to the music jury in this break.
All right.
We'll see how we go.
Good luck to you.
Get this.
Bad. Yeah, no. It wouldn't be very good at all. There's too much pollution already.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz, the all-new Sprinter.
You're listening to Get This Around the Nation on Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle. Glenn Robbins from Boytown is with us. Santo Chilaro is also with us. San Sombrero's in the shops. And thank God your hair is on tonight. Who is on it?
You.
Me, apparently.
Ed, help me out here.
Cal Wilson.
Cal Wilson.
Arj Barker.
And Stephen Tamos.
No,
Tahir Bilji. Okay, I've seen this episode. It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's a great episode.
So it's, what is it? It's two New Zealanders, a Turk and an
American.
As Shane Bourne says, sounds like a joke.
Yeah,
sounds like a very good joke.
Big hitters in there.
And watch out for Tony Tant. The gear is unbelievable.
Oh.
The gear, it's the best entrance I've ever seen in
Thank God you're here.
It's downhill after that, but no, it's good. I'm looking through the women's magazines because Glenn's got a film out, Boytown, and usually when people have a film coming out here, there's a bit of controversy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sizzle about them. Always. In the mags.
Always. None
have you ever
me.
Been in the mags, Glenn? Like, controversial?
The only thing, I was talking about this on radio yesterday, I went to the movies once by myself and it made the papers.
What was the headline?
It said, you know, couldn't find a friend, sort of thing. It was really sad. Well, now I'm really paranoid when I go. I think I've seen going to the movies because I like going to the movies by myself.
Jeez. You sure that was a headline or that was an Ed Cavalier thing?
Wow.
Beyond that, no.
I'm looking. You know, they do this thing in the New Weekly. It's like Guess Who, Don't Sue.
Yeah, good stuff.
And they'll have a rumor, but they won't say who it is. But do you reckon this one's just a bit generic? Which sleazy star leaves his girlfriend at home while he goes out to hook up with other women?
Richard Marsland.
That's basically who's cheating on his missus.
Yeah.
It's like, there's usually like a gerbil or something. There's some extra element. Nothing there. Just what else is in the women's mags today? Look at this. You've got the other woman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Aniston is being cheated on by Vince Vaughn with the other woman.
Oh.
How rude is this for a caption? More than friends, Vince is all smiles with new love Kate, who's no Jen in the looks department.
Ouch.
There's a woman who looks perfectly normal.
Hot? Is she hot?
She's just a normal person. No, Jen hot? In the looks department.
I'm going to go with the New Weekly on this one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think she's any Jen in the looks department.
But Jennifer Aniston, she's surely got to just beak up and do the Barbara Streisand story. Have a look at the photos.
You're right.
Do you reckon it could work?
Yeah. How hard must it be to go out with Vince Vaughn? If you, like Jennifer Aniston, to call him out, you go, Vince, just assume that it was you. people understand what Vince means, don't they? Yeah, no, you guys do.
Sandos. Some people don't, I think.
Okay. Try and explain it. Yeah. Good luck to you.
It means you've eructated.
Oh, yes.
In the bottom.
You've made a sound like a giant check being torn out of a giant checkbook.
Yeah, you're at a movie premiere.
I think it's time for some better sounds than that. What about music, Ed? What have you prepared?
Well, Snatcho, I've given you a piano, the baby grand, to play, which I'm going to ask you to play in a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Robbins,
yeah.
Drums for you today.
Oh, yeah, good. I do play the drums. Yeah.
Good. Now, Snatcho, what I need is for you, when you feel it, I need a pregnant pause.
Oh, something that maybe shouldn't be there, just a gap for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. But fill it with the notes you're not playing, and then Robbins, you crack in, and then at some point, tone.
Yeah.
I need you to sing kind of in a heartfelt way about something quite meaningful and rich. I need you to appropriate it for football later on. Okay.
Business, absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready, everyone. 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Liking that song, though. Liking that.
What about that pause? Where's the pause?
How's that?
That's good.
There we go. Well done.
Yeah, that's
more than a feeling, more than a...
That's the song.
Sounds the same.
That was Hunters and Collectors.
More than a feeling.
Hunters and Collectors with More Than a Feeling on Get This Around the Nation. Sando Chilaro is here. Glenn Robbins is here. And we are brought to you by the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz. That'd be the Sprinter. It's a bloody big van. How big is it inside?
It's so big.
What could you do in there?
You could put the big miner. You could steal the big miner from Ballarat and the 18-hole mini golf course, and just take it round to your place.
I reckon you could play squash in the back.
There you go. Real tennis.
Yeah. What about that fat lady?
One who can't get out of her car.
Yeah.
If you greased her up a bit, you could slide her in and out, no problem.
Yeah. Right. Glad that's been established. Let's climb a certain mountain. It's sort of 80s week here on Get This. We hadn't planned it, but a fair bit of Nick Kershaw talk. I can't explain how that's happened. No real enthusiasm for Ed's idea. Listen to this. For a great idea to invigorate the nation.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting depressed about water, about petrol, things like that. Ed's idea, what is it? Nick Kershaw, a flatbed truck, three synthesizers, going from town to town, singing Wouldn't It Be Good? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it sounded great when you said it yesterday.
Come on, people. All right.
I think I prefer a drought.
Kershaw, drought.
All right, here's a sweetener for you, Snatcho. Okay, we've got your three synths going on, cracking out Wouldn't It Be Good, people playing electric pan flute, someone else on electric kazoo, right, throwing out neckerchiefs.
Getting warmer, but
right.
Not much.
All right. Free Buffon hairdos for first 100 people.
Yeah. So you've got farmers on the news, there's just the scorched earth behind them, but they're dressed sort of new romantic-like.
And in the background, Kershaw going off on three synths.
There's no bloody water around here, but gee, this eyeliner is certainly cheering me up. Okay, what should come back? Is that what we're going to say today?
Yeah.
We were talking about who should come back yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What should come back? Crazes, things,
yeah.
Now, stuff we used to have.
It's 133353. People can start calling now if they like. Tone, what do you want to come back?
So this is things that have still got legs.
Stuff that's still got legs.
Right. I reckon the old Nintendo 64 GoldenEye. It's got legs.
Yes.
Remember the Nintendo 64 GoldenEye?
I know you do.
I think people moved
obsessed.
Too quickly. Tony. People moved on from that game before they'd blown up all the beakers and crates in the warehouse level. Because I do, I've talked about this before, Tetris, when Tetris came out. I'd be driving along Punt Road in Melbourne, there'd be a gap between two cars, I just had to move over and fill in the gap.
Did you make the noise?
Driving Tetris, made the noise, absolutely. Did the theme music.
Good.
I think those games should come back.
Yeah. I've got one.
Yeah.
Telephones that don't look like telephones.
Oh.
I was around at a guy's house one time, and he was in the other room, and the phone rang, and he said, "Would you get it, please?" And I looked around, and I couldn't tell what was ringing. He walked in the room and said, "Would you get it?" And he walked over, and he picked up the Coke bottle and started speaking.
Oh, this is that good, the Coke bottle phone.
And a fax came out of the glass zebra.
Yeah, with the dial on the bottom.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
So annoying.
I've got a nephew who's like about... Well, he's sort of grown up now, but at the point when he was about 9, we were watching a film, and it was an emergency situation, and someone had to dial the police, and he thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. He'd never seen phone dialing before.
you know what I miss? Glenn, the hamburger phone.
Oh,
the plastic hamburger phone.
Yeah.
I never get over that.
What a crap item that is.
Hey, the hamburger phone. It's got legs, don't you reckon?
I reckon they're going to bring back... I don't know where it's gone. I just think it's lessened these days. Fancy dress to sporting events and concerts and then letting that segue into everyday life. Like, you see little kids dressed as Batman every now and again, which I'm all for.
Right.
But there used to be footage of, you know, like, old World Cups and sort of Ashes tours and stuff like that, and concerts, and, like, you know, metal concerts and stuff like that. People just showing up dressed as Snagglepuss to a Megadeth concert.
Yes.
I love stuff like that.
And movies, you know, because when The Lord of the Rings was coming out every year, opening day, people dressed as, you know, orcs and things like that. You don't see that anymore.
People don't bust it out.
Yes, I remember going to see Vera Drake and there were a lot of people dressed as Cockney abortionists. But that, you know, you can't do it for every film. Sorry, I just chose that one badly at random.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. Of all the films
that you know about.
That was a magic trick. I saw that happen before my eyes. That was incredible.
I'll drag it back.
I didn't actually see Vera Drake because it was just never the right evening for the lovable Cockney abortionist. No, Vera! Oh, you've got enough of the abortions, Vera. Come on, move on.
All right,
you've
Santo.
You've gone abortion mad, Vera. Just leave it.
Santo.
I reckon we should bring back pinball machines that just work on one plane.
There's
too many, and they talk to you. Just give me a pinball machine that just knocks things down and goes... When you get a big click. And also, a dial on a television, just knobs on a television.
Oh, yeah.
And has this one got legs? Hexagons on soccer balls again.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay.
I mean, aerodynamic kind of, you know, new flow techniques is fine.
Yes.
But there's nothing more beautiful than the hexagons flying through the air.
Do you remember the Vera Drake pinball machine? Abort! Sorry.
We want people
to call in.
You know, Tyne, I'm often surprised at what happens on this show.
I know. Somewhere it shouldn't happen.
No,
too.
When I got in this morning, I wasn't expecting you to do 4 minutes of Vera Drake comedy.
It's a slow news day. Things that have got legs that we're not finished with yet, Mr. Marsland. What do you reckon?
Decorative gear stick knobs with spiders in them.
Brilliant.
Okay. No. We're all just picturing. I was fantastic. Just wondering whether the spiders are still alive. That was what was going on.
No. See, they're sort of set. You know those ones that they're set like a glass gear stick knob.
Yes.
So you've got like a deadly spider set behind glass as you're changing gears.
Oh, so
it's got eight legs, as a matter of fact.
That's where I want to see my spiders at the museum. I want to see them in the knob.
There you go.
All right. So many good ideas. So many things that could come back.
Yeah, you know it.
What about vigilantism? Let's bring that back. It's sort of having a comeback. Yeah. They burnt a pedophile's house to the ground in some small town, and everyone, nobody had a problem with that at all. Did you notice?
Pretty happy.
Everyone just went, yeah, fair enough. Now, listen to this for a crazy letter to the Daily Telegraph from Jay Hughes of Picton, who says, make perverts easy to spot. It is clear that serial
offenders... That's not what they want.
No, that's it goes against...
Oh, right. Sorry,
it works again. It's not designed to make their job more easy.
Oh, okay, right.
We're not helping the perverts
here.
Oh, sorry,
here. Yeah, sorry.
But, and this is obviously, the subject matter is slightly dodgy, but the idea, just go with the idea. It is clear that serial offending pedophiles will continue to prey on children. Okay, fair enough. It's impossible to protect our children 100% of the time, so maybe it's time we thought outside the box. How about tattooing a label on the foreheads of convicted offenders? At least then when they are released, the public will know where the danger is. No doubt civil libertarians will be up in arms. And yes, I know that a visible label would make them targets, but perhaps that would serve as an additional deterrent.
So and what would they put on the forehead? Where would they put it? What would it
on
say?
The forehead. He's saying pedophile tattooed on the forehead.
What do you think tattooists can actually spell pedophile? It's a toughie.
One.
Especially when you don't do it backwards. No, no.
Because
no.
The pedophile would be furious if it was spelt wrong. Oh, look at this. I look like an idiot now.
I once saw a guy at a bush doof at a dance party in the middle of nowhere. And we were all dancing around having a lovely time. And I looked across and there was a guy with a big red tattoo that said void tattooed on his forehead.
Wow.
You see? I had a friend that on his foot, his left foot, he had tattooed left.
That's handy because you do occasionally forget.
Yeah. Constantly forgetting.
Dry and clean only. But I mean that idea. I mean it's an interesting one. And then you know for lesser crimes, just like an ankle one, arsonist. Check it out. Watch out for your buildings. Could go. All right.
Video pirate. Yeah.
Video pirate. Just VP. Okay, good ideas, plenty of them. Things that should come back, things that have got legs. And while we're waiting for you to call us on 133353, we've been ranting on about this film, Boytown.
Oh, yeah.
And, the songs, the soundtrack album. So many romantic songs, even if you haven't seen the film. I find, Glenn, that, you know, you could just put these songs on for a romantic candlelit evening in a satiny caftan.
I love about the songs is Mick Malloy's lyrics. There's no subtext. No. What he's trying to say to you, he's just bam, straight up front. And I can tell you now, if you get to hear the album, the songs are so frighteningly catchy.
Yes.
They?
I think we should hear one of them now.
Love to.
While we're waiting for people to call. Here's Special Time, Brackets of the Month. You say that you're all right, but the signs are there to see. You're crying for no reason, and you're really pissed at me. I know you're feeling grim, you've got the painters in, but I am sensitive to your special time of the month. Surf the crimson wave. I'm here to let you know I'm getting round on tippy toe. I know you're feeling down. The Red Baron's in town, but my caring is renowned for your special time of the month. 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 Special. Beautiful song. That was Boytown from the movie Boytown. That opens tomorrow around the nation. Glenn Robbins is with us. Santa Chilaro.
You were dancing along, Glenn.
Yeah. I was remembering that dance routine, actually.
Toughy,
really
easy?
It's pathetic, isn't it? Really?
Was it toughy, easy?
I sit in the film and I sing along. It's pathetic.
Is that right?
I do.
Was that an easy dance, that one?
It wasn't too bad. There were a couple of really hard dances.
Yeah.
It was Pussy Whipped. As,
Pussy Whipped is hard. Exhausting.
Why? What was the what was
because we were the girl and we had to pretend to crack a whip and she had to throw her leg up on the thing.
Whip cracking. See, that's something that could come back.
Whip cracking.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine won Miss Indy with a whip crack.
Really?
Yeah. There's a sports section. And normally what girls do is, they just wander out in sort of short shorts and a boob tube holding a football.
Yeah.
And they go, well, I'm a footballer. And they kind of wave it around. And she went, well, you know what, I'm going to do equestrian. And she came out in full equestrian jodhpurs the whole bit with a bullwhip and cracked it an inch in front of the judges' faces and they gave her the prize.
Is that right?
Won a jet ski.
It was all worth it.
Who's stupid now?
Are we up the mountain? What is some stuff that's still got legs whoever got in?
Hi, Ryan.
G'day, guys.
Yeah, how are you, sir? And tell me, what's your comeback?
I reckon there's plenty of legs in Nintendo's game Duck Hunt.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What? How did Duck Hunt work?
Duck Hunt, you sort of hooked the game into the Nintendo and you sat on the couch or, as a lot of people did, stood right in front of the TV and pressed it at these ducks and shot them down and they used to just fall into the field.
Yeah, it was like a remote control that shot ducks, on the screen.
The trouble is you get a lot of protesters out the front of your house.
Yeah, standing in front of your TV. You're absolutely right, Ryan. Ryan, did you have a power glove?
I didn't have the power glove, just had to settle for the steering wheel when the PlayStation came out too, which you'd set up at the table desk.
Yeah, or you do what some people I know do, and they built a cardboard car that they would sit in with the
really?
Yeah. Ryan's gone quiet because he knows they're losers. Thank you. All right. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
G'day, all. They should bring back Tasty Tubes and Moncheros.
Now, describe a Tasty Tube for the uninitiated.
Mm. Okay. Well, you know Cheetos?
Yep.
Well, it's just like a lighter and more tangier flavour. It's similar to a burger, but it's about the size of a Cheeto.
Yeah, and they were delicious, and they melted in the mouth. Now, how would you describe the flavour of a Tasty Tube?
Mouth-watering, satisfying. know?
And Moncheros?
Moncheros, okay, they're like these somewhat like a retarded twisty.
Right.
Even though that twisty is kind of like that, but they're kind of flat. But the reason why they were so popular, especially when I was in high school, is that they had this catchy ad with it.
Song!
Yeah, you know, Moncheros, and it was just like this song to that commercial, you know, the one ton or a day kind of thing. Every time we had a packet of them at school, everyone used to sing that song to it every time someone opened up a pack of Moncheros.
Wonderful choir. How nice. Lovely sing song.
The Moncheros choir. That should come back.
That's lovely. Hello, Alan.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
Good, mate. What should come back?
Just before I do, quickly, that previous call, the Tasty Tubes.
Mm.
I was in a servo earlier this week, and they're actually back in stock.
They do have legs.
They're back. The Tasty Tubes are back.
Right, and are they half price next to the cash register? You're trying to buy your petrol, bloke just wants to see your Moncheros, Tasty Tubes.
Hey, what do you reckon should come back?
I reckon the good old KTEL record selector, but...
ZZ Top spoke over you there. What is that?
The KTEL record selector, and there was the cassette selector. Do you remember? You'd remember this, Glenn?
You flipped the first one, and the whole lot went through.
Yeah. And you could reshape it for CDs now.
Oh, really? And the idea was if you'd taken one out, you just had to flip the first one forward, and it stopped at the gap where the missing
when
one went.
When I stopped listening to records, I used it to store my crockery with.
The crockery selector.
Yeah, you just flip one over.
Wow. And did you say you can, you've made your own one for CDs, or they've really...
No, but if they bring it back, they can redesign it to handle CDs.
Well, for
good
iPods.
Idea.
For iPods. The iPod selector.
There you go.
Good idea. Thank you, Alan. Hello, Errol.
Good morning, gents. How are we going?
Excellent, sir. What should they bring back?
Well, I reckon all those other things are great, but in my opinion, there's just not enough small birds and small children getting hurt. So I think slingshots and air rifles.
Did you ever have a glove gun when you were a kid?
A glove gun?
You got a small, thin piece of tubing, and then you put the finger of a rubber glove sort of taped to the end of it. And then you pull whatever your missile was back in the piece of the rubber glove, and pew, it would shoot out the front.
I can just see the crafty kids that on their lunch break today just messing up birds.
Do you remember a spud gun?
Spud gun. You could fire a potato chip at somebody.
You could.
Just not enough power, in my opinion, boys.
No. Just not enough power.
That's true. It would just make the birds angry, wouldn't it?
You know? Yeah.
Now, I'm going to fill you with some carbohydrates.
Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
What about
the old beer can radios?
Oh, what brand of beer did you have?
KV.
Oh, that was a great sound.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did they used to dance?
Not really.
No, because there was no, because the next generation
that
you got in show bags, they turned into plastic and they were Coke cans and they would dance. They were radios and they had little headphones on and sunglasses.
But how did they move? What made them?
There was a little mechanism inside them that would make them sort of bop from side to side.
Yeah. Well, if this has got legs, they can actually put legs on them.
There you go. They can follow you around.
Wow. Great. So many good ideas. That's great. The soft drink radio. Destroying fauna with a gun. That's got to come back. So many things that should come back. Yeah. I'll tell you what is coming back. The band Boytown. Wow, you should see this.
Are you done, Glenn? Is that it? What are you doing, Savo?
Yeah, is this like it promo? For the Boytown promo tour?
I'm going down the bank to ask for a loan. I'm thinking of buying Channel 9. Loan for $5
billion.
I'm going to negatively gear Channel 9.
There you go.
Yeah. You get, what do you get with it? You get all that equipment and Pete Smith.
You know what? If they had balls, they would put Channel 9 on the prize board on the temptation.
Not bad.
Richard?
Not bad.
Oh, thank God for that. Yeah.
Welcome aboard. Timing. Thank you for coming in, Mr. Marsland. Thank you very much, Glenn Robbins.
Thank you very much.
Like you say, Boytown comes out tomorrow. Santa Chilera, thank God you're here. That'll be on tonight.
Yes, and San Sombrero out in the bookshops. All good bookshops, and even the bad ones.
All right. I think that's everything. Nikki Hamilton, our producer, has just handed me what she says is our key phrase today, courtesy Glenn Robbins. My pussy saw a UFO. And we'll be back tomorrow with Bob Franklin, and we're going to try and startle him. And it's all thanks to the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz. That'd be that Sprinter.